one question to ask you, Tacoma Park. Is he worthy of our praise? Let us pray. O worthy one, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every blade of grass a quill, and every man and woman a scribe by trade, to write your precious love above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O Holy One, you are worthy. So take now lips of clay, O divine potter, and have your way in this service. For we pray this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen and amen. When I arrived this morning, Pastor Wright was standing and waiting for me to bring me to this marvelous edifice. And I found myself thinking about what an amazing servant leader you have. Now, most preachers would have sent someone else out to take care of that little bit of business, but he came himself. And I want you to know that says so much about who he is as a servant of the Most High God. It is no accident that you have "I serve" in 2015. Now, today we're talking about religious freedom. On tomorrow night, we'll be talking about forgiveness and speaking on the subject, forgiving the unforgivable. Forgiving is a challenge for all of us because we have this sense of justice that we want to see implemented, realized. So we'll be talking about that. Are you free? A couple of weeks ago, I was in the airport, Reagan National, waiting to take a flight to the airport I least like to fly into, and that is O'Hara Field in Chicago. Chicago, as you know, is the Windy City. And when you fly in, you feel the effects of the wind. Now, I do not mind turbulence as long as it is not clear air turbulence. When I can see the clouds and we're bouncing off of the clouds, it feels like Disney World. But when I can see the ground, particularly because one of my favorite Bible verses is Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, which states, "Lo, I am with you always." I want to see something. Your clear air turbulence bothers me. And so here we are. I knew I was flying into O'Hara. Well, most of you know that we had just had that tragic plane crash in the French Alps. And I was seated there waiting to go through security. I had plenty of time. And a woman, a journalist from the National Public Radio, came over to me and said, "May I ask you a few questions?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I stood, and she said, "Well, first of all, what is your name?" And I said, "My name is Barry." And she said, "Spell it." I said, B-A-R-R-Y. So I knew she was had the mic in front of me. She said, "And what is your last name?" I said, "Black, like the color." She said, "Thank you." She said, "In light of the alleged suicidal pilot crashing that plane in the Alps, what kind of anxiety are you experiencing?" "What kind of anxiety are you experiencing today as you get on this flight?" And I paused and thought, you know, you want to give a decent response, and I wanted to give an honest response. "What kind of anxiety are you feeling?" And as I looked into my heart soberly, I realized that even though I was flying into O'Hara, even though I was very much aware of the tragedy that had happened, I felt no fear at all, not even anxiety about the flight. So I said to her, "Well, I'm a minister. So you're actually interviewing the converted." She said, "What does that mean?" I said, "It means that the 91st Psalm, verse 7 says, 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling." She said, "I think we have enough here. I think we've gotten enough there." That's okay. And she moved on. I started reflecting on the freedom that Christ has given me. You see, because there is governmental freedom, but there is also spiritual freedom. There is internal freedom. Someone once said, "Stone walls do not a prison make." You can be incarcerated and yet free. Joseph in Genesis 40 promenades into a jail like he is going into Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Walks into that prison on trumped up rape charges. "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day. Hello, butler. Hello, baker. Why are you sad today?" There is, beloved, an internal freedom. No one can shackle you when you have that internal freedom. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Pastor, I feel something pushing me. You better pray for me. I'm trying to be dignified. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, we've heard religious freedom talk for most of our lives. And we need, I believe, to have much greater respect for government. But we need to recognize that regardless of the government, no one can actually take away our freedom. John 8:36 says, "Those whom the Son," S-O-N, "has set free," "are free indeed." Oh, bless the name of Jesus. And no one can take that from you. I had that in the back of my mind when a journalist asked me, he said, "Chaplain, aren't you concerned that you can pray in the legislative branch, but they have taken away the religious freedom to pray in the schools?" And my response was, "I'm surprised at you. They have not taken away the freedom to pray in the schools as long as there are midterms. There will always be prayer in the schools. No one, praise God, can take away your freedom. Now, religious freedom is critical because it is a universal right. Our Declaration of Independence declares we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator. That's the transcendent word. That's the God word. With certain unalienable rights. And Martin King, in his wonderful speech, The American Dream, wrote or said, quote, "There are certain basic rights that are neither conferred by nor derived from the state. In order to understand from whence they have come, it is necessary to move back behind the dim mist of eternity, for they are God-given." End of quote. It is a universal right. Secondly, we need to have greater respect for religious freedom because religious freedom is related inextricably to almost all of our freedoms. It is foundational. The freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom from want, freedom from fear. 1941, Franklin Roosevelt gave his Four Freedom speech, where he talked about the criticality of religious freedom. In fact, it is no accident that the First Amendment to our Constitution speaks of religious freedom. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And one of the first acts of the new government, the new legislature, legislative branch of government, Article 1 in the Constitution talks about legislative branch of government, and one of its first acts was to establish a chaplaincy so that when they convene, somebody would be praying. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But we also need great respect for religious freedom because religious freedom is under attack today. Whether in Pakistan, Vietnam, whether in Iran, whether you are talking about the Coptic Christians who were killed, murdered by ISIL, whether you are talking about what just happened in Kenya, where the Christians were separated from the Muslims before those assassinations, or whether you are talking about Indiana, Arkansas, there is a religious freedom construct when you are talking about whether someone should bake a cake because I don't want to do it because I have a different view of marriage. Whether someone should be a photographer, you must not forget the religious freedom component. Religious freedom involves being able to relate to your God according to the dictates of your conscience. We must be willing to protect those freedoms. And so I've had the topic here, wise up about your life, because one of the things we need to wise up about is religious freedom. Our blessed Lord in Matthew 22, 21 said, "Render unto Caesar what? And unto God what?" So we know we have dual citizenship. We have citizenship in the particular country that we are in. And by the way, whether you're in a democracy or whether you're under a dictator somewhere, it still cannot change what Christ does when he makes us free indeed. But we need to recognize that dual citizenship. Now, what happens when there is a conflict between the demands of Caesar and the demands of Christ? Acts 5:29 says, we ought to obey God rather than, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so we see here what religious freedom is all about. And yet I spoke to a saint, one of the holiest women I have ever known, one of the kindest women I have ever known, one of the most loving women I have ever known. Had been an Adventist for many, many years, 92 years old, and we were talking, and she said, you know, Pastor, I hope that when I die, that my life is pure enough so that the Lord will permit me into heaven. And I was startled. I was startled because although this devout Seventh-day Adventist who was living a life with a spirituality that dwarfed mine was speaking to me, I was astounded that she had anxiety about, even fear, about what was beyond. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of whenever you are afraid, you automatically know that that aspect is not from God. Hallelujah. At least 366 times in the New Testament alone, we have the words, be not afraid. One for each day of the year and leap year. God does not want us to be afraid. And I was happy to unpack Romans 5:19 for my beloved one. And I told her, by the disobedience of one man, Romans 5:19, many became sinners. I was a sinner before I committed one sin. I was born that way, shaping in iniquity, but by the obedience, hallelujah, of one man, many became saints. I became a saint before I was able to perform one work of righteousness, because before I was born, someone shouted from a hill called Calvary, Tetelestai, it is finished. And when he shouted it, he paid my sin debt in full, past, present, and, I hate to shock you, future as well. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Wanted to let her know that it is not your record that you need to be worried about. When God looks in the investigative judgment at Chaplain Barry Black's record, he's going to say, oh, I see he was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I see he fed 5,000. I see he took on the devil in the wilderness of temptation. It is the obedience of Christ, Romans 5:19, that saves me. Ephesians 2 says, it is by, I hate to shock you, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is your wages. It is your salary. It is your hard-earned bounty. It is a gift. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It is a gift from God. Not going to be anybody up there boasting about how long they've had veggie-burger breath. Oh, praise God. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. How dare you boast? There is only one who is worthy. Only one who should cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm so happy that my dear one, 92 years young, got such a marvelous, a serene smile on her face. And she said, "What's that verse again? Tell it to me again." Hallelujah. It is by the obedience of Christ that we all make it in. And each of us has the same testimony. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Save me. One day, when I was lost, I had to pull it back, Pastor. I had to pull it back. It was pushing me. He died upon a cross. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Save me. Sitting there in that airport, my mind flashed back. Dr. Wright, to Pine Forge Academy, when I used to have nightmares about the second coming of Christ. Wake up in a cold sweat, because when, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, the Lord himself descended from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, I was always in the group running to the rocks and the mountains. Every time, every dream, I was in that group, terrified. But now I'm about to get on a plane and feeling no anxiety at all, because I was a free man in Christ Jesus, and he or she whom the Son has set free, John 8:36, is free indeed. No more chains. No one can shackle me. I'm free from anxiety, free from fear, free from trepidation about what happens to me after death. Jesus has my back. Oh, bless his holy name. And he gives me the ability to wise up on life. And so I want to turn to our pericope, our passage, Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs is the greatest success manual ever written. Written by arguably the wisest man who ever lived. 1 Kings chapter 3. God said to Solomon, "I'm going to give you a blank check. Ask me for anything you want." And Solomon did not ask for a Lamborghini. He did not ask for a Bentley. He said, "Give me wisdom." The interesting thing, I used to hate on Solomon. We hate, you know. Why did the Lord, he never gave me that opportunity. He going to just give this man wisdom, and just said, in the package comes long life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Until I read James chapter 1, verse 5. Because James chapter 1, verse 5 is the key to stupid-proofing your life. It states, if anyone, I love those kind of words, if anyone lacks wisdom, duh, you flink. Let him or her ask me for it, God says, and I will give it to him or her liberally, and won't even be upset because you asked. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So let's put our scripture up on the screen. Proverbs 3. Can we get that up there? Help a preacher out here today. Proverbs 3. If we have that, it was the one that you put up there. My son, I always loved Proverbs because I didn't have a daddy in my house. And he was constantly saying, "My son, my son." So this was my GPS, my godly positioning system. He says, "My son, do not forget my law." I'm talking about if you really want to be free, if you want to wise up about your life so that you can be truly free. "Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." Verse 2. For, here it is, length of days, hallelujah, and long life, and peace they will add to you. Now, if you are going to wise up about your life, you need to prepare to live a prosperous life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is your number one cheerleader. He is rooting for you like you can't imagine. Keep that up on the screen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I want to let you in on my thoughts, the thoughts that I'm having for you. I want to give you a future. I want to give you a hope. I want to prosper you. God wants to prosper us in every area of our lives. That is why our Lord said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have and might have it. Oh, he wants you to have abundant living. He wants you to have it going on. He wants you, in the words of Isaiah 58, to ride on the high places of the earth and be fed with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He wants to give you long life, many years, and peace and prosperity with those years. That's what God wants for your life. And that is what you ought to be measuring your life by. Long life. And a lady said, Chapman, how old are you? I said, ma'am, I said, that's classified. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you after I told you. She said, don't joke around. I can always Google. I said, no. I said, no. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, tell me a little bit about your background, and I'll tell you how old you are. I said, well, you know, I was a missionary to South America. I said, I pastored 11 churches in the South Atlantic Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. I said, I was a Navy chaplain for 27 years. She's writing rapidly, 27 years. I'd been in the Senate for 12 years. She said, I got it. You're 89 years old. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Don't I look good for 89 years old? Length of days he's promised to give you, so that even when you're 89, not quite, you still got the power. That's what God wants to give you. Now, verse 3. Now, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Praise God. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, blessed are the merciful for. Okay. Now, you've seen that little commercial Priceline thing where the lady is, you know. And I didn't say your daughter was a rooster. She just, you know, along they did that kind of thing. Kill her. Well, you better get some mercy. When David got into trouble, God said to him, David, I can punish you, or I can let the church board punish you. You take your pick. David said, Sovereign God of the universe, whatever you do, don't let me fall into the hands of the church board. That is cruel and unusual punishment. You take care of that. No. Don't do that. Now, you know, come on, church boy. Come on, Tacoma. You tell the truth. You know good and well, to be honest, you know good and well you would not have left David on the throne. You know you would not have left David on the throne. You'd be calling Jesus. Well, you wouldn't be calling. You'd be at GC. We got to do something. We got to do something with David. And you know you would not let Solomon be the pastor to follow David. You know good what Solomon. You know who shot at him. Y'all know who. Don't let that mercy. And it goes on to say, you will find favor, hallelujah, and high esteem in the sight, not just of God. Not just Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased, but in the sight of human beings. Favor is when people like you and they don't even know why. Oh, I love it. Bible says, Daniel 1:9, God gave Daniel tender love and favor with the prince of the eunuch. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. His right hand, his right arm was Arioch, the prince of the eunuch. And Arioch didn't just like Daniel. He said, I don't understand it. I love this guy. Tender love and favor with the prince of the eunuchs. The fifth Psalm, verse 12, says the righteous are surrounded with the shield of God's favor. When I interviewed for the job of chaplain of the Senate, I had to go through three rounds of interviews. Over 100 clergy persons, ministers, priests, rabbis, imams being interviewed for the job. Went through round one, they winnowed it down to 10. Went through round two, they winnowed it down to 2. Now, I would Google the people they were interviewing, because you could always tell who was being interviewed because they would pray the prayer on C-SPAN 2. And I'd Google Harvard Divinity School, Princeton Theological Seminary, and I'm Oakwood University. I went in to the committee, and one of the senators said, now, chaplain, he says, I've read your record. I'm very impressed. He says, now, you went to Oakmont College. I said, that's Wood, Senator. That's Wood. But I've stopped by to tell somebody what God has for you. No devil in Gehenna can keep you from having. Oh, bless his name. Doesn't matter what the competition has. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Had one guy, good friend of mine, Baptist preacher, said, I'll bet a month's salary, no way in the world, Barry Black is going to be selected as a chaplain of the Senate. He had all kinds of, I know where in the world. I was just happy to call him up after it happened. How's that 1 month salary? Praise God. He will give you favor. And not only that, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a person's ways please the Lord, he will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. They will embrace the Rodney King philosophy of living. Can't we just all get along? Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Now, next verse, next two verses, my faith, listen to me. This ought to be your North Star. You want to be free. Pastor Wright, I memorized this verse when I was 9 years old, and it has guided me, this passage. Trust in the Lord with intensity matters. Intensity matters with all your heart. God wants folk who are sold out. If you want to be free, tied up, wrapped up, tangled up, and lean not upon that PhD. You can have more degrees behind your name than a thermometer. But if you don't know Jesus, you are an educated fool. I know I said it. I said it. And I stand by it. For the fear, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. You can't even get started in wisdom without reverential awe. In some of your ways. See, we got these little areas. God, you manage my family, but I'll take care of the finances. Acknowledge, submit to him, another translation puts it. Have your way, Lord, and he will direct your path. I was dating a young lady at Oakwood. We were in love. L-U-V, not L-O-V. We were in love. And, you know, young folk, you all know when it's not what it ought to be. And I knew it wasn't. The young lady was very kind, and, you know, I'm not into religion. You know, you planning on being a what? Well, you know, you can't expect support from me. So I went to the Lord because I wanted to submit to him in all my ways. This was my North Star. And I said, because, I mean, I had her in the palm of my hands, I thought. The rap that I put on her when I first met her was, I quoted Christopher Marlowe, "Oh, thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of a thousand stars." Write that down, guys. It still works. Praise the Lord. I said to the Lord, I said, "Okay, God." I said, "All right. You're wise. You know the future. You break us up. I give you permission. Because ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep that woman from me. You break us up." Took him less than 48 hours. Lord have me. That's right, I was curled up in the fetal position in my dormitory room. You didn't have to do it that way. You better not have some area of your life. You better submit to him, and he, oh, praise his name, will direct your path. My wife and I were in Tampa last week, and she wanted to go to a restaurant, and I had left my Garmin GPS at home. My baby, she wanted to go to Ocean Prime Restaurant, their fancy restaurant in Tampa. And Brenda looked, she gets that incredulous look on her face, because if you gave a scholastic assessment test, it would be no competition. She would wipe me out. Girlfriend had a full scholarship to Radcliffe in the 60s. Valedictorian of a class, homecoming queen, star pupil, made the newspapers in St. Petersburg because of her SAT score. So she gave me that look that she's given me repeatedly throughout our lives when I... "You left your GPS at home." "Yes, babe, so we can't do that." She pulls out the smartphone, just looking, shaking her head, just saying, "Lord, have mercy on my husband." She said, and I'm carrying a smartphone. And don't leave home without it. She says, "Siri," she's on personal friendship with Siri. She says, "Directions to the Ocean Prime." She doesn't say in Tampa. And Siri said, it drives us right there. Okay. But I thought about a godly positioning system that I have, that I often don't take advantage of. The 119th Psalm 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And if you want God to direct your life, oh, bless his name, submit to him in all things. And then verse 7. Do not... oh, some of us are legends in our own minds. "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Lord, have mercy. "Fear the Lord." That's reverential awe. "And depart from evil." I'm going to be honest with you. I am afraid of God. I mean, not a cringing trepidation. I'm in awe of him. When the choir was singing about how worthy he is, it was all I could do to not misbehave. Because I know how worthy he is. And when I sin, shock, 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 when I sin, I am aware of the broken relationship. Oh, that part, that.